All right, well, we're going to start a brand new section that's going to go for 4 weeks. We're shifting gears. We've talked about evangelism, living a lifestyle of extending God's kingdom. We're shifting gears now, and the question we're trying to answer is, how can we live a lifestyle of transformation? What are some, and I'll use the term devotional habits for lack of a better word, what are some things that we can do in our lives to help us participate with Holy Spirit's work of conforming us to the image of Christ? Right? I mean, we've been predestined to be made like his son. So whether you want to be like Jesus or not, he's going to be working overtime to make you like Jesus. And so let's start with prayer, and then we'll just jump right in, and then we'll get ready for our first exercise. Lord, we just declare your glory over this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your sovereignty in our lives. Lord, we come to you with yielded hearts and open palms and say, God, not our will today, but may your will be done. May your purposes and your plans be accomplished in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge as well today our absolute dependence upon you. Lord, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Lord, we don't want to just fill in blanks on a note page. God, we want to just engage your presence here. And we thank you that even now you are here. We thank you in advance for this class time today now. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody ever read the book by Richard Foster called The Celebration of Discipline? It's a classic written back in the 70s. I would commend it to you. It's a book we have at the bookstore. He wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline about 13 spiritual disciplines, devotional habits. He had divided them into the inward habits, the outward habits, and the collective habits of things like prayer, Bible study, fasting, things like silence, solitude, simplicity, things like obedience, worship, celebration. His thesis is that you can't change yourself and make you more like Jesus. Are you aware of that? Well, I'm just going to try and read through the Bible this year. I'll show them. I'm going to really work hard this year. I mean, you do that and you get to about February and you hit Leviticus and it all stops. I mean, you can't make yourself like Jesus. But it's also true that there's nothing I can do. And so he carves this middle path and says that devotional habits like worship, right? We went to worship today, right? We heard the word. That doesn't change you, but what it does do is it puts you in God's presence. If this stool is God's presence, when you come to worship on Sunday morning, you're literally putting yourself in God's presence so he can change you. So what we want to do over the next 4 weeks is, as we're talking about transforming our lives through discipleship, is look at four or five different devotional habits, maybe with some fresh eyes, and we'll go from there. Does everybody have notes? Is he just coming?
He's in the choir right now.
Okay. Let me just take this and give you some notes to hang on to.
Okay.
So, as I said, if anybody... If anybody misses these sessions, you're welcome to try and come and to hear them online. And because the schedule is pretty tight, what we do, you can pick up the schedule in the fall if you miss a session. I would really encourage you to be here for these four because they really do build together. But we want to start off this morning talking about prayer. Okay, that's kind of be our launch pad. We're on page 71. And it's basically, the habit of hearing from God. Let's fill in the blanks here quickly. First of all, getting started in prayer, it's important that we have the right attitude. When we pray, we're not talking to the ceiling. And you can read these notes. There's way more here than we have time to go through. This is just kind of setting a backdrop. Point number two is that Jesus gave us a model for how to pray. And it's called the Lord's Prayer. And, I don't know if you've ever read any books by Paul Young-hee Cho or a guy named Larry Lee. They've written extensively on the Lord's Prayer. Here's one pattern right here. It's all alliterated with words that start with P. We have praise, we have purpose. If you flip over, we have provision, pardon, people, and protection. All ways that you can think of the Lord's Prayer as being divided. We had Mark Rutland came and shared several years ago about the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23. It was a marvelous message. One of the things that's impacted me the most is a fellow named Andy Stanley. He's a Baptist pastor in Atlanta. He did a series on prayer called Permission to Speak Freely. And it was about the Lord's Prayer. And he basically summarized the Lord's Prayer in three bullet points. You can summarize it like this. Number one, I'm on the bottom of page 72. Number one is we declare God's glory. We declare God's glory. Number two, we surrender our will. And number three, we acknowledge our dependence upon God for provision, pardon, for protection. I don't know if you realize it or not, but when I opened in prayer this morning, as I quite often do, I basically prayed the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we declare your glory over this hour right now. Come and meet us. Lord, we come with yielded hands, open hearts. God, we surrender our will. Lord, it's not about us filling in blanks. Lord, have your way in our lives. And Lord, we acknowledge our need for you, Holy Spirit. We need you to be our teacher. See, that's like praying the Lord's Prayer, right? I was using the outline, praying the bullet points. If you think about prayer, it involves at least two people, right? Because we're not talking to ceiling tiles. There's God and I'm speaking. But then hopefully the Lord is speaking and we're doing what? We're listening. How many of you are more talkers? Are you a talker or are you a listener? How many listeners do we have here? You're more contemplative. You just sit in God's presence and he speaks to you. Awesome, awesome. How many of you are like me? You're more talkers. Oh, Lord, I need a parking spot. Please, please, God. You know, it's raining. You know, it's like, you know, we pray about everything. And obviously prayer can both ways. If you've not been regular in prayer, I would commend the Lord's Prayer as a way to start praying. If you think of the Lord's Prayer, the different parts of it, as like high hurdles on a 440 track, you know, you can start just driving out to, you know, out to the interstate if you're driving downtown to Nashville to work. Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And man, you just start praying out just the names of God. Lord, your name is awesome. Lord, you're wonderful. The Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you, Lord. You've never forsaken those. God, you're my healer. And you know, you just pray through that until you get done. And then, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. You get on the interstate and you're heading down towards Mallory. Lord, may your kingdom come in my business today. Lord, in my workplace today, in my classroom today, Lord, over my kids today. And you just pray through it until you get to downtown Nashville. Then you start up when you come back on the way back. That's a way to pray the Lord's Prayer, be always in prayer, right? You pray it over and over. I want to shift gears, though, and we want to talk about something. I want to talk about something that has literally changed my life. I'll talk about something else that changed my life next week and something the following week that changed my life. But this happened about this past February. It's been over 3 years. And that's listening to God. Because prayer isn't just us talking. It's learning how to hear God. And it's one thing for us to talk about the fact that God is speaking in God's Word. You had a session on that in the Step 1 class. I don't know if you remember or not. Oh, of course we remember. We remember everything we learned. No, you don't. But we did have a class session on the Step 1 notes about hearing God's voice. We believe that God's speaking all the time. He says, first one way, but now in another way in Ecclesiastes. And so we know, we talked about how God can speak through his word, of course, through dreams, through visions, and all kinds of things. But have you ever thought that God wants to speak to you? So to set this up on the top of page 73, I want to encourage you to be listening to God through the eyes of your heart. First of all, number one, God declares that one way he communicates with us is through visions, through pictures. Number two, God has commanded us to meditate on his word. You know, to meditate is a term that is rich in meaning. It means to muse over, to think about. It means to study, to apply your analytical cells to. It means, anybody ever work in the garage? I was in the garage all day Saturday, and I was just talking to myself. Anybody ever do that? You're like muttering to yourself? That's meditation. If you picture something in your mind's eye, if you imagine something, that's meditation. And so we're commanded to meditate. When God reasons, number three, he often uses pictures. He often uses imagery. I like what it says in Isaiah. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, so you can picture that, they shall be white as snow. And you can picture that. He's using a picture. Jesus taught, number four, Jesus ministered out of pictures and vision. And he taught using imagery and pictures. If you think about the parables, that Jesus taught. And number five, transformation in our lives occurs when we use our spiritual eyes to see what God is doing. We look and we see, and we see what God is doing. That leads to a section here about four keys. I want to just very quickly define four keys to hearing God's voice. It's one thing to know intellectually that God wants to speak to us, that He is speaking. Let me just ask the question. Has anybody here ever heard the audible voice of God? Okay. I mean, it's not uncommon to have, you've literally heard an audible voice. I never have. Had an experience close to it the first Sunday that I visited Grace Chapel, but I've never really heard an audible voice. But I believe He does that just because I haven't experienced it. But I would submit, like, turn to your neighbor right now and say, you're a sheep. And you can hear God's voice. The Bible says that we're sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. That's just not using flowery language. Life verse is Acts 22, 14 and 15. The God of our fathers has chosen you to know His will, to see the righteous one, and to hear words from His mouth. Then you'll be His witness to all men of what He's seen and heard. That's Ananias' prayer over Paul when he's blind there in Damascus, Acts 22, 14 and 15. But the fact is, we can hear God's voice. 3.5 years ago, I got turned on to hearing God's voice because you have to ask the question, what does God's voice sound like? Is it deep? Is it loud? I mean, you know, right? So Mark Verkler, he's a Baptist guy that kind of had an encounter with God. We sell his book out here. My wife and I actually taught a class here several years ago, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. But here's four keys. Number one, stillness. If you want to hear God's voice, here's four things that you can do. There may be others, but here's four. It keeps it simple. Stillness. First of all, quiet yourself down outside and inside so you can hear God's voice. That's what King David does. Psalm 62, David speaking to his soul. He says, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in Him. You know, we would say it to put it in contemporary language. Soul, Myron, soul, take a chill pill. Quiet down. Soul, be still. You know, you can speak to your soul. Number two is we'll just write the word vision. Imagine yourself with Jesus. Imagine yourself talking with Jesus. Visualize yourself communicating with Him. Close your eyes and in your mind's eye, where do you see Jesus? For my wife, it's most often sitting on a porch swing. For me, it's sitting on a bench. Anybody ever been to Yosemite? Up to Glacier Point, and you're sitting at Glacier Point looking at Half Dome across the way? I mean, that's typically where I am, although it can be, I mean, but just wherever it is, it doesn't matter where it is, but wherever it is, picture yourself with Him. Anybody like love the beach? I mean, you feel close to God. Okay, picture yourself with Jesus at the beach maybe. You know, that'll come to mind. Hear the seagulls, smell the salt water, feel the breeze on your hair. You know, imagine that you're with Jesus. Focus on Him. Tell your soul to be still. Focus on Jesus. Number three, flow. Just write the word flow. Tune to the flow. Several years ago, Pastor Steve did a several-part series called Flow. That was the title of the series, and it was about the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so you tune to that flow. Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, He says, let everyone who's thirsty come and drink, whoever believes in me. As the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then the next verse says, and He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. I had the privilege, after this class is over, there's a young boy, I think he's about 8 years old. He wants his prayer language. So Carol and I are going to pray. He'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues and all of it. The flow, I'm going to talk to this little kid about the flow. The Holy Spirit is in you like a flow of living water wanting to come out. So if you want to hear God's voice, you've got to tell your soul to be still. You've got to focus on Jesus. You've got to tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now that begs the question, what does God's voice sound like? Okay? Mark Verkler helped me. He's kind of an analytical guy, and that is kind of my default position. He says, God's voice sounds like the flow of spontaneous thoughts and pictures and images that start passing through your mind after you've told your soul to be still and you're focusing on Jesus and you tune to that flow. God's voice sounds like the flow of spontaneous thoughts, words start forming in your mind. Yeah, but that's just me thinking. Tune to the flow, the words, the pictures, the images. Some of you are probably more picture-oriented. I'm more word-oriented. My wife is more picture-oriented. We run the prayer team this morning, boom, praying for a gal. Hey, I see you as somebody has given you a script. And, you know, the gal gets all, you know, like choked up because that picture, I mean, she's tuning to the flow of what Holy Spirit's telling her for that person. And then that goes into step four. You can put journal. Write out your prayers. Write out what you believe you're hearing. Write out what you hear by faith. You're going to tune to the flow. I'm going to right now ask for two volunteers here, Bill. If you can pass two pieces of paper, and Roy, to everybody, two pieces of paper to everybody. We'll use one right for this first exercise, and then we'll have another one. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear God's voice right now. Very simple. Every one of you is going to hear God's voice. We're going to tell our soul to be still. We're going to focus on Jesus, close our eyes. We're going to ask Jesus a very simple question. This is not going to be a hard question. Lord, how many angels can go through the eye of a needle? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to ask the Lord. Here's the question we're going to ask. In fact, you can write on the top of one of your pieces of paper, you can write this question. You can write this question. Lord, how do you love me? Okay, that's going to be the question that we're going to ask Jesus, okay? Lord, how do you love me? Anybody here from a Baptist? There's quite a lot of Baptists here, right? Okay, the Baptists are going, that's a stupid question. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the? Tells me so, of course, yes. And here's why we're asking that question. You know, it's absolutely true that we know from God's word that he loves us, and we're highly loved, we're highly favored. But it's also true that to hear that from God for yourself is pretty amazing. Anybody seen Fiddler on the Roof? Right? Remember that first scene? It's probably about a quarter of the way in where Tevye, the old man, he's in his house, and his wife's there, and he says, do you love me? And the wife goes, well, yeah, I cook your food. But do you love me? Well, I make your bed and take care of your clothes. But do you love me? You know, it's like the whole gist of that song is, yes, of course, we have the paper, we got the ring, I get it, you love me, and we got the license and all that, we're married, but do you love me? And I would submit that that's a fair question that we can ask the Lord, the creator of our souls, the one who, as Steve said this morning, formed us, knew us, even in Jeremiah, even before we were formed in the womb. There was a book that was written about you in heaven, full of God's thoughts towards you. And we can ask the Lord, whose thoughts, by the way, outnumber the grains of sand. See, God's always speaking. The prophets say that he's singing over us. I mean, it's like, you know, how many of you right now can hear 97.1 K-Love? Like right now. No, I see, I can't hear it because we're not plugged in, right? We're not tuned in. We don't have our receiver plugged in. But God's speaking over us all the time, right now. If I had a radio receiver, we could hear K-Love, K-Love, or we could hear the fish, safe for the whole family. But I mean, but the point is that God is speaking. And you and I have the capacity. Yeah, but I wasn't raised Pentecostal. This has nothing to do with how you were raised. This has to do with God's word for you. You're a sheep. You have the capacity to hear the shepherd's voice in a tangible way. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment. We're going to take a moment, and we're going to listen for God's voice. I'm going to just open us in prayer. I'm going to just pray, and you can just close your eyes, get comfortable. What we're going to do, you're going to hold your pen in your writing hand, left or right hand. We're not going to make this harder. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to try this exercise, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of paper and our question. We're going to focus on the Lord right now. We're going to tell our soul to be still. We're going to focus on Jesus. So close your eyes and just, man, just relax. I know this is kind of a weird, bright fluorescent lights, kind of looks like a doctor's office. But we're just going to relax. We're going to focus on Jesus. Imagine that we're with Jesus. We're going to ask him the question, Lord, how do you love me? That's the question we're going to ask. You can write that at the top of your paper. Lord, how do you love me? You're going to tune to the flow. You're going to pay attention. What does God's voice sound like? The flow of spontaneous thoughts that start coming into your mind. So you're going to tune to the flow, and then you're going to start writing as fast as you can. Don't worry about spelling, punctuation. If you get a picture, just, okay, I get a picture of a flower breaking up through rock. Okay, Lord, what does that mean? And then you can write that. Lord, what does that picture mean? You know, you're in a dialogue now with the Lord, okay? So, Lord, we do invite your presence now. We thank you that you're already here. We thank you, Father, literally for your love for us. And we tell our soul right now, soul, be still. Everybody take a deep breath. Soul, be still. Lord, the eyes of our heart right now are focused on you. So in your mind's eye, just picture that you're with Jesus. Just see yourself with him and then ask him that question. Lord, how do you love me? And pick up your pen right now. Pick up your pen. And just start jotting down whatever comes to your mind. It may be a word. It may be some bullet points. It may be sentences. It may be a picture. Lord, how do you love me? Write what comes to mind. Don't make this harder. You're writing literally by faith. You've asked him, now he's replying to you. All right. Yeah. Everybody get at least one word? I mean, it's not uncommon for somebody that's never done this, maybe they just have a word that repeats in their mind. Okay, just write the word down. Anybody get some bullet points? Just kind of some things come, okay? Anybody get a picture or, you know, just some, you know, like a picture came to your mind's eye? Okay? Anybody just, you can go back now and correct the spelling. Hearing God's voice is something that for sure requires faith. This is a pretty subjective exercise, as you can see. And so it begs the question, well, how do you know that that was God's voice? I mean, it sounded a lot like me, you know. One of the things that I've discovered is that, yeah, when the Lord speaks to me, it's totally different than the way he speaks to my wife. She's got a more of an artistic thing. She typically gets pictures, and she gets, like, scripts of movies. He'll speak to me, and it'll be in something that I would read that. Well, let me just ask you, go back and read just to yourself what you just wrote. Anybody have that feeling, oh, that's pretty good? I don't know that I could have thought that up. Anybody have that experience just now? I mean, quite often, some of the stuff that I'll get, it's like, well, wow. But it does raise the question, how can we test this? And here's the one word that I would use. It's an R word, and it's the word, does what you wrote resonate with your spirit? Another way to say it is does what you believe you heard, in fact, that's why it says, here's what I believe I heard the Lord say. At the top of your paper, here's what I believe I heard the Lord say. At this stage of my life, that's what I would say. This is what I believe I'm hearing the Lord say. You know, versus, well, the Lord Jesus Christ told me to tell you. I mean, no, not at this stage. You know, it's like we're learners in this. And so we're learning how, those of you that are married, did you ever have the occasion where when you called each other back when you first started dating, that like who is this, you know, right? Because you didn't quite recognize the voice, but now you recognize the voice and immediately. I mean, learning to hear God's voice, intentionally hearing God speak to you, there's a bit of a learning curve. But we need to ask ourselves, does this resonate with my spirit? Another way to say it is, does what I hear, believe I heard, does that reflect the character of God? Does it reflect the ways of God? Does it reflect the fruit of the Spirit? Right? See, if it doesn't, then it's probably not God. If you got, well, how do I love you? I don't love you. You're a schmuck. You're a loser. You're a no good. I mean, you're a no good bum. Trust me, that's not something God would say. Right? It's just not. And so, to ask, you know, does this resonate? Does this bear witness with your own spirit? Is one way that you can do that. Let me ask, I don't want to embarrass anybody. Would anybody want to read what they believe they heard from the Lord? Yeah. Why don't you read it? And then, like, let's listen with that voice. Let's see if this resonates with our spirit. Yeah.
What I was sitting here right away, it just said, I was blessed to be plugged into this class. It's kind of a picture and gives me all good things. It gave me my kids.
Okay.
I hear the Lord all the time, but then I say to myself, well, if I do that, is it my ego wanting me to do that,
yeah,
which has edged God out to me?
Okay.
And so I don't know, because sometimes I'll get it, well, you should go there and help them, and then it comes back to me, am I doing that for my ego, or am I doing that for God?
Well, this is where we learn how to hear by faith. See, I can hear the Lord very clearly telling you, hey, man, I want you to be with me forever. I want you to love me and serve me. Anybody else have something they wrote? Just read what you wrote.
So it is just like that I was on my parents' front porch, which is like a place that I like feel most peaceful, and we just hang out of the front door.
Yeah. And like, what did you write?
That he came out the front door. He said he wanted to sit with me.
That's awesome. The Lord does indeed want to sit with you. And he wants you to be near him. We'll like talk about that in just a moment. Anybody else hear something? You write something that kind of touched something in your heart?
Yeah, I got relentlessly.
Huh?
Relentlessly.
How does he love you?
Relentlessly.
Okay.
And like all I could see was him like hugging me, and I hurt, like a hug that hurts good. I don't know if that makes sense. But and then he kept saying relentlessly, "I love you, unrelenting love."
Wow.
Relentlessly.
Does that sound like something God would say? That I love you relentlessly? How about somebody else? Yeah.
I actually got 3 bullet points, and when I wrote down the first one, then I got the second one.
All right. All right.
The first one was with an everlasting love. The second one was with rivers of living water. And then the third one is from the inside out. And it just were those thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how he loves me.
Yeah. That's good. Anybody else?
I got the
Yeah. Okay. That's the way I know Father God to be. Anybody else? Yeah.
How about the, I saw like a picture of me walking with Jesus and he was holding my hand and the word steady came to mind and that he's just with me always and leading me and guiding my paths in my direction. And I just say it's just like he's never going to love me more or less than he does.
Steady. And that touched your heart. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's the Lord talking to you. I don't know what you're going through in your life. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. See, it's one thing, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I give my tithe, I serve in the children's ministry. But it's another thing to go through the other 6 days, and maybe you're in a really difficult season, but to hear the Lord Jesus tell you, I love you steady. And to see him with you and it touches your own heart, that bears witness with my spirit. Now, it's not always that it stirs up an emotion, but typically if it bears witness and it touches a deep place, that's pretty awesome. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. This is a devotional habit I started about 3 years ago, quite honestly. And the first time I did this, I asked the same question, and I got choked up reading what he wrote back. And so it's been a learning process for me. In my daily journal, I have a place, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And it's not every day that I hear. That's probably because of me, not because of him. But it's quite often, you know, he's got something to say. Where this has helped me is a lot is on just big decisions that I have to make. Or just asking about some of the mission trips that I'm planning. I mean, the Lord's been very clear to speak no to this one. I want you to go back to Haiti twice. Oh, really? Okay, you know, and I take it as a marching order. I've had situations, I don't know about you, but, you know, you come to work and you've got more to do, you know, then you've got paper to fill out all the stuff. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And it's like he's kind of dictated my job for that day, you know, these 15 things in that order. And I'm going, whoa, it's not, I wouldn't put all those things, I wouldn't put that, but I've literally taken my iPad and just set it up beside my desk. All right, this is what God said to do, and I've hit the things right as I believed. You know, and it's amazing how my day went. You know, inviting the Lord into your daily life, it's that flip side of prayer. See, it's one thing for us to be asking God to touch our kids or touch our family or be in our business or help, you know, guard our stuff if we're away. But it's another thing for us to be listening to him. Prayer is not just talking to God. It's learning how to hear his voice. And it's the kind of thing where that listening then translates into being present in situations that you don't really know what to say. All right, Lord, what do I say now? Lord, help me, you know, and then taking time to see what God wants to say so that you can speak something. You know, how many of you know that a word of encouragement from the Lord is way more important than, you just thinking up something encouraging to say, right? You want to give people something from the Lord, and you want to draw him into it. How many of you got a picture? You had a picture. What, did you get a?
Yeah, I'm sitting on the beach, and he's just like, how far can you see, you know, I love way beyond that, and how deep is this, and I love you deeper than that.
Does that sound like something he would say? Wow, what a great visual image. Yeah. Farther than that. So, one of your homeworks this week. How many of this, was this a stretch for you? Come on, be honest. This is a stretch. I mean, it was for me, right? I mean, this is hard. Let me encourage you to try this at home. Try this tomorrow morning. Try this, you know, after the Predators win tonight. Try pressing into a relationship with the person of Jesus and talking to him and then listening. There isn't a time where whatever you write isn't by faith. You write by faith. I mean, it's totally by faith, because there's this voice in your mind going, you're just making this up. You're just writing down what you wish God would say if he really did talk, but he doesn't, and he's not talking to you right now. You're just making this up. I mean, anybody have that voice? Totally, totally. Ignore that. You ignore that. Lord, I'm coming to you right now. And God, I need you to speak to me. I thank you, God, for the truth that I am your sheep and I can hear your voice. God, I've got the capacity to listen. I'm going to listen right now by faith. I'm focusing on you, Jesus. Please, Lord, and you write by faith, and then take it, share it with your spouse. Hey, does this, quite often, I'll write something out. If I get a big something, I'll take it to Carol, my wife. I'll say, does this sound like something God would say? And I'll let her read it. I have a friend, when he first learned to do this, he was contemplating buying a house. It's your dad, by the way, Tim. He would email, Lord, am I supposed to buy this house? Or not. I said, man, you got to hear from God on this. Ask the Lord. And then he journaled and he would email it to me and say, does this sound like something the Lord would say? It was awesome. Learning how to hear from God. He was questioning about whether to go on this last mission trip that we're leaving. You're going in June, but I'm taking your dad and your mom in May, next Tuesday, of week after next. And so he said, well, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go with. Bro, you need to get back and listen to God and hear from God. He texted me that night. Well, I did, and the Lord reminded me that he had already told me that I was supposed to go last November. So, yeah, I'm going. Did anybody get a word of something? Well, no, because the question was about, Lord, how do you love me? Here's what I've discovered in doing this exercise. If I'll just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today about this or that? Sometimes the Lord will correct me. And let me tell you, let me give you a forewarning. It's always very gentle and kind. Even when he's correcting me. Does that make sense? It's not in any shaming or condemning or you loser, why can't you be better? It's not any of that stuff. But it's like just so gentle that, you know, it just breaks my heart, you know, if I've fallen up short in an area, right? So let me encourage you this week with God's help to try and take time to listen for God's voice. You may ask this question again. I mean, so you could ask this question every day and he'd have something different to tell you every day. Lord, how do you love me? Are we together? Now that leads into the next thing we want to talk about. And we'll be actually using this exercise. You're going to be needing this exercise. So please do not try this, because you're going to need it next week and you're going to need it the following week. You're going to, what I'm asking you to do is to exercise your spiritual muscles to learn how to hear God more than perhaps you ever have in your life. And it's not that we haven't heard God, But for me, the discipline of writing it down suddenly made it very concrete. And remember what God's voice sounds like. Mark Verkler helped me. God's voice sounds like the flow of spontaneous thoughts that come into your mind. Turn in your appendix here. There's an article that I got express written permission to use from Mark Verkler on page 95. Look on page 95, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. If you want to read a little bit more, this is an article that he wrote. He's got a much bigger book out at the bookstore, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. Okay, we're going to switch gears because we have one more exercise to do, and that is how to have a quiet time, a devotional time. I don't want to take for granted that all of you have a regular, you know, you can call it a quiet time, a devotional time, a morning watch. I don't care what you call it. You can call it spaghetti for all that matter. The question is, do you have it? How many of you are morning people? How many are night people? Right, right, it's like your day like starts like at 12 noon. What's that thing? That's called the sun, and it rises every morning. For the night people, this may be hard for you, but let me encourage you to try this out in the morning, even if you're a night person. But let's talk about having a quiet time here. On the bottom of page 73, first of all, there's some specifics. You need to have a specific time. You need to have a reasonable amount of time. This thing here says start with 15 minutes. Forget that. I'm going to start with 10 minutes. The next page there, 74, choose a special place. Find a place. For me, it's in my green chair in my office with a cup of coffee. But find a place. I mean, I know it's there. It's not upstairs in our bonus room. It's not at the dining room table. It's certainly not in bed, you know. No, find a place. It's interesting, the very first thing that Jesus taught when he talked about prayer, the disciples were talking, asking him about prayer, and he talks about finding a place. Go into your room and close the door. Place is important. Get what you need and then start with the right attitude. We've already talked about that. So here's what a 10-minute quiet time can look like. 10 minutes is all, okay? Now, there isn't one right way to spend time with the Lord. You understand that. But this is one way that if this isn't something that's ever been regular in your life, you might want to try. Here's 10 minutes. So we start. Let's take 30 seconds. We'll just kind of prepare our hearts. Maybe relax, be quiet, prepare your heart, take a few deep breaths. Number two, read and imagine. We're going to read a portion of God's Word right now. In fact, I've got something, and my dyslexia came out. Can you pass one of these out to everybody? My dyslexia hit in when I printed these. I have dyslexia. It says Psalm 23. It's actually Psalm 32. But if you would just pass one out. So what we're going to do is we're going to take about 4 minutes, and we're going to read Psalm 32. I've got it here printed if you didn't bring your Bible. And by the way, next week you will need to bring your study Bible. You've got yours. Everybody needs to bring your study Bible next week. Do not miss with your study Bible next week. If you don't have your Bible, I'm passing out Psalm 32, even though it says Psalm 23. Well, read that for 4 minutes. We'll take about 30 seconds, and then we'll just reflect. Again, this is devotional reading. What we're not doing, we're not studying the Bible now. Okay, this is not Bible study. Okay, this is you and Jesus taking 10 minutes to kind of set your day. So this is what I would call devotional reading. This is where you read and you listen with the eyes of your heart. Okay, so we're going to read for 4 minutes. We're going to take about 3 minutes and we're 30 seconds and just imagine ourselves with the Lord. Close your eyes. All right, Lord, I've just read Psalm 32. I've read it a couple of times. Lord, what do you want to say to me? Lord, what do you want to say to me? You've got two pieces. You have another piece of paper. Okay, you can pull out that piece of paper and you can record your thoughts. You know, let's take about 2 minutes. Write down what you believe you hear the Lord telling you. You've read Psalm 32. Maybe there's a verse that kind of just leapt out at you and you just reflected on it. You meditated on it for a few minutes. Again, this isn't study. But as you close your eyes, imagine the Lord now talking to you. And when the Lord talks to you, he's going to be talking in first person, right? It's going to be first person. It's not, There are three important truths that we can glean from verse 6. And here's the truth number. No, it's not teaching. It's first person. Hey, this is how I love you, or this is how I've forgiven you, or this is how I want you to call out for me in times of deliverance, or whatever it is that you're getting, right? You're writing in first person because it's the Lord. You're just recording him talking to you. You'll do that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll take the last 3 minutes or so, and then we'll pray. You'll pray. Now you'll talk back to God, and you can do several different ways. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. You can use the three little bullet points. Declare God's glory. Thank you, Lord. I declare your glory over the rest of this day. Lord, I do surrender my will, all that's coming down this next week at school and everything else at job. And Lord, I'm acknowledging my dependence. You can do that. Or you can pray a simple acrostic called ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Lord, I just adore you. You're awesome. Lord, I do confess I've been anxious, even from this class, Lord, just the anxiety of here. Lord, I'm calling. Lord, I repent of that. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you forgive me, that you love me, that your love for me is everlasting. Lord, I do want to pray for my mom who's sick, God, and I pray for my daughter who's, Lord, going to be, like giving a recital tomorrow night. God, give her your peace. You know, just pray. Pray the things that are on your heart, right? We're going to take 10 minutes. Are we together? Again, I'm recording this, so if you miss this class, if you're in this class right now, but you're missing it, you can just listen to the recording online and it'll all be up to speed. Are we together? This is nothing more than a simple way to take 10 minutes and be in God's presence, okay?
So Psalm 32.
I have already confessed my dyslexia. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to start. And what I'll do is I'll just be the one keeping the time, so don't even worry about the time, okay? What we're going to do is, let's take about 30 seconds, maybe take a deep breath. Just close your eyes. Just tell your heart. Be still. Invite the Lord to speak to you. Just say, Lord, open up Psalm 32 to me now. Let's take the next 3 or 4 minutes and just start reading through Psalm 32. Just read it through once, slowly, maybe read it through a second time when you're done. If there's a word or a phrase or a clause or a whole verse, you may want to come back to that. reading through this, just picture yourself in the scene that's depicted in this psalm. Just picture yourself in the story. Now you can just turn the paper over, and you may want to pick up your pen and just focus on Jesus under your breath. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me now from what you've read? And pick up your pen and take that extra piece of paper. Take just a minute or so and jot down what he tells you. What's the Lord saying to you from this psalm? Let him speak to you. Just jot down what you believe you hear him saying. All right, let's put your pen down, and then you can take this last bit and start to present your request to the Lord. You just talk to him now. You can thank him for what he showed you. You can thank him for the day. You can use the Lord's Prayer, as we said. You can pray for the needs of your family or your workplace. encourage you to wrap up your prayer time by just thanking the Lord, just thanking him for his love, thanking him for his goodness, for his faithfulness in your life. And thank him for the time you've had with him this morning. How many of you could have used more time? Huh? That was 9 minutes. That wasn't even 10 minutes. How many of you believe the Lord spoke to you something from Psalm 32? Okay, here's what I want everybody to do. Stand up. Find one or two other people, not your best friend or your spouse. Just give it to people and say, hey, man, here's what I got out of my quiet time just now. Okay? Just grab two or three people. Or maybe just two people. That'll speed it up. Just grab one other person and say, hey. If you're listening offline now, all we're doing is just sharing with one another what we got out of our quiet time. So I'll turn this off and I'll bring you back in after people have finished sharing. But I would encourage you to share what you got from the 9 minutes you just spent with the Lord. All right, we got everybody back here. Let me ask... I mean, everybody's already said that they got something out of what you got. Was anybody encouraged by someone else that you shared with? Huh? Did anybody feel like this was a total waste of time? Don't answer that. I don't want to take for granted that 100% of you have ever done something like that. I wouldn't dare ask. But it's not uncommon in a group this size to meet people, regardless of their age. You can be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that have never taken a deliberate time just to spend in God's presence. I mean, I call it a quiet time. I'm a morning person, so it makes it easy for me. I look at Jesus' life. It's not uncommon. Multiple times in the Gospels, you see Jesus arising early before it was dawn, and he went away to be with his Father. And he's spending time with the Lord. There's a couple of verses that I really love. I love Proverbs. I love Proverbs chapter 8. Thank you. I love Proverbs 8. It says this. It says in verses 34 and 35, blessed is the man who listens to me, doing what? Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. In the New Living Translation, it says, and whoever misses me harms himself. Proverbs, that's Proverbs 8, 34 and 35. May we be men and women that are waiting daily at his gates, waiting for him to talk to us, to speak to us. You know, whenever you see things in Scripture twice, it's a good indication just to pay attention. There's a passage I want to read to you. I'm going to read, it's found in Jeremiah 52, the last few verses of Jeremiah 52. But I'm going to read the passage also from 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the exact same words, 2 Kings 25. It's a great story. It's about King Jehoiachin, who was led into captivity in Babylon. But it gives us, I think, a picture of the way he was treated in Babylon, the way our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, treats us. It says about King Jehoiachin, it says in the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, he released him. He released Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him, and he gave him a more prominent seat than those kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments and ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. As for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him day by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. I just think that's an amazing picture, and there's some spiritual, you know, application there, or at least a pattern. Here we are. We've been released, have we not, from the dungeon of sin and death? We've been given robes of righteousness. We've been invited to sit at the table with the king, where daily we have a provision that's provided for us as long as we, you know, we live. This whole issue of learning how to hear God's voice and learning how to make intentional time with him. I heard it put this way on a book that I read this weekend from a fellow that mentored me back in the late 60s. He says, the reason that so few of us are proficient at hearing God's voice is that so many of us don't have a personal altar that we can come to and spend time with God alone. He told me this back in 1977. Because I asked him about having a quiet time. Why is it so important? You know, and quite honestly, in the spirit of transparency, my freshman year in college, when I first started having regular quiet times, I got it confused in my brain as a 19-year-old. And something in my brain made me think that if I would have a regular quiet time every day, that God would love me more. It became a work. It became an idol. My freshman year at Oral Roberts University, that summer I was a camp counselor at Camp Montvale in the Smoky Mountains just outside of Maryville, Tennessee. And it had become so burdensome that for 3 months while I was living as a camp counselor, I didn't touch my Bible. In fact, I couldn't come near a New American Standard Bible. That was the translation I was used to, without almost breaking out in hives. And it took some time for me to get healed of the lie that somehow if I would have a daily quiet time, God would love me more. No, 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 no. God loves you. What was the word you had?
Relentlessly.
Whether you have a quiet time or not, ever. Okay? So it's not about doing this to preach about earning God's love. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing. It's about coming into a personal relationship with the lover of your soul. How long have you guys been married?
8 years.
Huh? 8 years. How long do you all, you all talk to each other like maybe once a week? How about you guys?
16.
But how often do you all talk to each other? Daily maybe?
Like every
huh?
10
I seconds. Mean, can you imagine not talk? How long have the boys been married? Could you imagine? Could you imagine not talking to the lover of your soul daily? All that you've just done, and you did it for 9 minutes, is just trying to reconnect with the one who made you, who loves you, who died for you, who has plans for you, who's got a destiny for you to walk in, who said you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good. I mean, there's a book written in the very courts of heaven about your destiny, as Steve referenced today. So a quiet time is something that we do, not to change us, but as we said earlier, it's something we do to put ourselves in God's presence where he can change us. This fellow whose book that I read that mentored me in my early 20s, he said it this way. I asked him, so why have a daily quiet time? And he said it this way. I'll never forget it. He said, you have a daily quiet time, so if God has something to tell you, he'll know where to find you. Yeah. And so what had been a bondage when I was 19, and then I was able to be diligent at, now becomes the desire of my heart. I mean, I get up before 5 o'clock every morning. I don't want to miss spending time with the Lord. No, I'm not. I want to encourage you this week, if this hasn't been something part of your devotional life, whether you're a morning or an evening person, for you evening people, you got a double assignment. I want to encourage you to take 9 minutes, 10 minutes this next week. Yeah, but I have to get up at 6. Okay, but what time do you go to bed? I go to bed at 11. Well, go to bed at 10:45 and get up at 5. You know, just move your clock up a little bit and try it. Just tell the Lord. I mean, you can tell Him, Lord, I'm tired. This is hard. Golly, Lord, where are you? Lord, I need you. And then open back up to Psalm 32 or wherever you're reading. And just spend a few minutes with Him. You don't have to time it or anything, right? Comments, questions about this whole notion of having a daily devotional time with the Lord or about hearing God's voice? These are two habits that will...
I know for me,
please catch this.
For years, I always have me a sticky pad beside me because my mind will start wandering off on things I need to do that day.
Totally.
So I write it down, then I'm able to get back on track.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yeah, there's a couple of other fill-in-the-blanks I've totally forgotten over here on page 75. I would hate to leave these out. Yeah, these all start with the letter D real quick, and yours is one of them. First of all, there's the problem of discipline. You know, for you to have a regular quiet time, say, starting tomorrow morning at the start of your work week, that's going to take discipline this afternoon to make a decision, you know, about when to set your alarm and about when to go to bed. By the way, you can't keep going to bed at 11 o'clock and expect to get up 15 minutes early. You can't burn. I mean, you just wear yourself out. Yeah, but I'm a night person. I really am a night person. Okay, I get that. My wife's a bit that way as well. She's much more alive at night. But that's hard. I like taking the first part of the day. You can imagine taking the first part of the day. Let me tell you, it's uncanny. Like the stuff that you got today, right, that you shared with somebody, how many people were encouraged by what they heard from what the other person got? It's uncanny how the things that the Lord will speak to me in my morning devotional time, it's uncanny. How many times that day is the thing that, hey, man, let me just share a verse that came to you. I mean, I keep a journal on my iPad every day, and so almost without exception, there's some verse that I'm kind of latched onto. I mean, if you take to my journal today, you'll see that verse in Jeremiah. I mean, it's like I've been thinking about this all morning, and it's uncanny how many times the Lord gives me an opportunity. He'll give you an opportunity. You can be an encouragement, but it starts with diligence. Number two, the problem of distractions. That's what our sister was saying, Karen was saying. Just the problem of distractions. Your mind starts wandering. I have a solution for that that's electronic. But you know what? Yeah, man, it's like have a piece of paper. Jot it down. Get it off your mind. Oh, I got to get the road license today. You know, I got to, you know, get more gas for the lawnmower. I mean, you know, do something to get that off your brain. Because your mind will start, and just distractions, you can be distracted. I try not to look at my email or text messages or all that stuff until I've spent time with the Lord. Just because if the first thing that I'm doing is running to Facebook at 5 in the morning, you know, and then your mind just gets, I mean, you're south. And just like, I mean, I'm kind of missing the whole point. There's a problem of dryness. You know, we're coming into spring. Don't you love spring? Spring's awesome. It's cool at night and flowers and, you know, there's green stuff coming out. It's alive. Yes. And there's times in your walk with Christ when, like, that's the way it is. There's times where it's like winter and the ground is hard and the leaves are bare and the sky is gray and the trees are gray and the sidewalk's gray and the light is gray. It's just gray and dead and there's nothing. Right? But we still keep having time with the Lord. We still keep pressing in. By the way, bring your study Bibles next week. There's a problem then of diligence, and we've already talked about that. Yeah, the problem of diligence. You know, ask the Lord to help you. We'll pray here in a moment, and we'll just ask the Lord, your homework assignment this week, should you decide to do it, and you will, because you're awesome people, is to commit to trying to have a daily time with the Lord. Yeah, but I only made 4 days. Okay, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up and try and do, you know, don't try and, you know, if you miss 3 days, don't try and have an hour the next day. Start small, 10 minutes, that's all you need. And then if that grows into 15, let it grow into 15. Don't try, it's not about volume, right? It's about touching and having a real encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. I mean, he's a person, he's alive. God's Spirit is in you. You have the capacity to hear his voice. I don't know what your daily Bible reading plan is, or even if you have one, come next week. And did I mention bring your study Bible next week? We're going to do another exercise where we're going to need this hearing from God thing, this piece again. Okay? Are we in? Questions or comments? Something that's not clear? Anybody have a question or comment? I'm going to turn this off before we pray.